Hello and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at thecommonwealthclub.org. My name is Gannett Sepsibe, a member of the club's Art Forum and your program organizer for this evening. This year, our annual member-led platform is about music matters. So some attention is given not just on talking, but sometimes actually participating in the music experience. It is now time to introduce our presenters. Bay Area-based Vox Mundi's teaching artists Sylvia Nakash and Val Sarant will demonstrate through live and recorded music the richness of indigenous music traditions that have flowed from their different backgrounds as classical Indian musician Nakash and steel drum percussionist Sarant. Through a combination of voice, instruments, and dialogue, they will also engage the audience's participation in healing, in the healing power of music. From the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Val Sarant has performed around the world, recorded with Rhythm Times, and is a lecturer in Caribbean music at UC Berkeley. Sylvia Nakach is a founder and artistic director of Vox Mundi Mystery School of Sound and Voice based in Emeryville. She's been described as a blazing light of creativity in the world, and this brightness radiates throughout her work. Influenced by the greatest musical geniuses and spiritual masters, Free Your Voice, which is the book that is also available for sale, integrates world wisdom and allows the readers to experience mysticism through singing. This program is part of the 2015 platform series Music Matters, sponsored by Ernst & Young and John and Marcia Goldman Foundation. And now I'd like to invite Val Sarant to begin.
Shango Mojo Baba Ile Baba O Woni Walo Eri Jaja Orisha Oko Eri Mala Shango Iwalo Bakoso. Aladoye, 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 ayaba shango wariloye, aladoye, 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 ayaba shango wariloye. I see my spirit traveling through space and time. When a voice come and may say, seek and you shall find beauty all around me, pretty water for miles and miles. Then the voice informed me, this is the River Nile, and this land is sacred, seen by very few. Your forbearance knowledge, now I pass on to you. I am the Orisha, so sacred to the Yoruba. Use these words to call me where you are, whether near or far. Just say, Aladoye, Aladoye, oh, Aladoye, Ayaba, Shango, Wariloye.
Starting in Africa, of course, moving on with the evolution of the steel band, even with the banning of the drums in Trinidad and Tobago, we created that instrument, right? So I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. the drum is a musical instrument, right? When
what
I get
the
with the children, the children say, but if I play this now, you know that one? Ayinde o, ayinde ogo, ayinde o, ayinde ogo. So when you know the language, as you see, right, then you would know what's going on. Played with the stick, but for today I'll use the finger. Right? So some people say talking drum. This one is called Kanango, right? From the Dundun family, D-U-N-D-U-N, in Nigeria. And you have many types of these drums. In Senegal, you have the tama, but it's smaller, different sound. And the Kanango, then you have the mother drum, Iya Ilu, right? Iya Ilu is the mother. Gudu Gudu is the father. It's smaller. It's like, you know, like how this is here, and then you have a gum resin in the middle of it, the gudu gudu as the father, and then you have gongong, omele, and, you know, different ones in the family, okay? So this one, Kanango, can cover a lot of action. And this one here that I started with is called djembe. You know this, a lot of people now are seeing the djembe. So you know the drum is open at the end there, you get to get the sound, but that is what makes this such a unique and powerful instrument, because it's covered on both ends, right? Both ends, and yet you can get that range of musicality and language, and the drum, obviously, when you play, right? So you have to know what you're doing to make your music, right? Okay. And you see this one from Nigeria. These are from Trinidad and Tobago. So the African people didn't just give up their culture. Some people say it was, really, literally, they tried to take everything from the people. But we kept a lot of it. But when we play this one, we use like this. Right? And then you have the other ones for the other drums in this family, where you would get together for that Yoruba tradition. So I know the time runs so quickly. Mm-hmm. Move on. Other percussion, we have the shekere. You know this one, shekere? Anybody? All of this is so that you can join in, you know. So see how you want to play it. Right? Right? Be creative. Yeah. And when we moved on, well, the first one I started with playing for introduction was Kalimba, right? You saw this?
So people can come up and pick up an instrument?
Yeah, and this one, ganza, originally from the Congo, used a lot in Brazil. The bells, we have many different types of bells, but I just have this one. Right? Another one. We're going to be forming our orchestra soon. And this other bell I got from Olodum from Brazil while I was in Holland, but it originates in Africa, called Agogo. Right? You hear it a lot in the samba. Mm. And then you bring it with some. Into this instrument, because when the drums were banned, well, the African people use the bamboos as instruments, yeah? and the native people in the Caribbean too, some who they call Arawak, of which my father was from that group of people. And we used the bamboos, and then the bamboos were banned, right, too. The drums were banned by law, you know, they banned the bamboos. So, okay, so we created that one, okay. So you don't stop making the music. That's how important the music is to us. You know, it matters so much to the people. But actually, you had the bamboos. Yeah, you had different types. You know, played on the ground when you played, right? Right, different rhythmic patterns. And you have the, like, other pieces that you can use. Right? And the strip, you make it too. You make a whole orchestra out of the bamboo. Right? And I was in Holland, and this is from an Indonesian instrument, so I used it. You can use that on the clavier. Right? Another one for you. And after the banning of the drum, we went on to the old cans. Right? Blowing your whistle. Huh? Right? And then someone noticed when the can sunk after hitting it that hard, you got a different tone. And there we go, onto this instrument now. Right? So when we play that as children, we'll have these brooms, sweeping the neighbor's yard, making noise 5 in the morning, wake them up and they pay you money. Good to be creating. Right? So that's our thing. I just brought this other drum, so when we play in, somebody can join in. This is the kinkini, and this is songba. You have a bigger one called the junumba, right? When you're making the orchestra with the djembe, right? Right? Make your choice while I'm playing. Now, instead of the garbage can, decide to sink in the top of it, take a hammer and a punch, make a groove. Different size and weights of hammer, you knock it back and forth, you know, tune it, right? But first we use the stick. Right? Then we put the rubber, always creating.
So as Val is playing that beautiful music, I will read for you something that he suggested I share with all of you. So This is from an article, and it says, music can improve the mood of those who suffer from Alzheimer's and boost cognitive skills. Music therapists who work with Alzheimer's patients describe seeing people wake up with the sound of loved and familiar music fills their head. Often, after months and even years of not speaking at all, they begin to talk again, becoming more social and seem more engaged by their surroundings. Some begin to remember names, long forgotten. Some even do what Alzheimer's patients often cannot do as their disease worsens. They remember who they are. Neurologist Oliver Sacks wrote this book, Musicophilia, that for Alzheimer's patients, music can be very much like medicine. Music is no luxury to them, but a necessity, and it can have a power beyond anything else to restore them to themselves and others, at least for a while. More than 5 million people in the U.S. have Alzheimer's, a disease for which there is no cure. 1 in 8 boomers will get the disease, according to estimates, but about 15 million family members of the U.S. Are locked in what became a heartbreaking nightmare of taking care of loved ones with whom they can't communicate. For many, music can be an important part of easing the suffering. Researchers are finding new ways to use music and as part of the treatment for dementia as well. Thank you, Val. Thank you very much. We will have a questions and answers later on, so hold your questions and we'll be happy to answer them. At this point, I'd like to invite Sylvia Nakash, who's a Grammy-nominated musician and award-winning composer and former psychotherapist and accredited authority in the field of sound, shamanism, and consciousness transformation. Sylvia, you're on.
Well, after all that, what we can do? I think we need to, where I'd say, to use the windshield. The car, you know, we clear the windshield every day to see better. Music does us to, it's a great way to clear the mind. Open the mind, calm the mind to make it sensitive to divine intervention. That is what is written in the Vedas, which are the sacred scriptures from India, maybe 3,500 years ago. They had more time to sing, to write, to really taste why music matters. So what I bring into, what I try to contribute to, and I've been contributing for years into the field of music and transformation, is that the first thing I realize is the importance of bringing music from across the universe to children, and be sure that we realize that music is sound as well. So not necessarily identify with one culture or another culture. So if we open the music to a point that I finish my book with the idea that music is a planet where we can live happily and in, you know, divine resonance with each other. So if we bring this idea of cross-transcultural possibilities, and we don't stay in just one kind of harmony or one kind of melodic extension, something happens, not just in our psyche, but also in our brain. When we listen to music we never heard before, especially talking into the dimension and within the field of Alzheimer's, you know, as a music psychotherapist, I work with Alzheimer's patients, with schizophrenics, with mostly with addiction of all kinds, you know, which is the what happened now in the world, addiction to everything. So music, it's a good addiction. It's very easy to get involved and engage in music because apparently music is as ancient and as old as humanity. So why music matters is the questions that I was driving with today. I drove for an hour and a half just trying to get home. And I say, well, why music matters? I have a radio program called Why Music, by the way. If you're interested, just, you know, write your name and you receive the programs. It's called Why Music. But actually, this is a better idea, why music matters. And it has so many layers, the inquiry. And it's a creative inquiry because every presenter in this series will have a different experience, why music matters. Because music not only is the very first kind of a spiritual nurturing the spiritual, it's always had a spiritual agenda from the beginning of all times, but also music is very physical. And then we have not just the effect of music, which is the commercial music, but the affective quality of music. And then, again, I learned so much of going to other countries and taking people to other places where music is necessary, not just in the schools, in the streets, in everywhere you go. I just came from Japan. Wherever you go, you hear... airports, shopping centers, 7-Eleven in every corner. People don't talk in Japan, but they listen to Bossa Nova. I grew up in Brazil. And it's just like, oh my God, I came back and I said, this album that I'm making now, I wanted to put some Bossa Nova there. You know, because I was so happy walking in these places, even when it was a lot of traffic. Because I hear with that voice.
Not that voice.
They're like, beautiful. Beautiful. Sometimes. So music matters in so many layers, levels, dimensions, textures of reality. Music matters in education, say yes. Yes. Music matters in our psyche, how we feel. Music can change the way we feel, can change our emotional disposition immediately, more than any possible psychology, more than a kiss. Yes. Boom, immediately, if you listen. Acha. Are we listening is the first question. Are we listening? Music is not just music, it's sound. It's constructed. This is the other layer of music, musicality, the creative, the musical, the architecture of sound, which we never think about that when we go to school. I went to every school in the world. I mean, I've been an academic since I know me. And right now, I have to create the programs to realize that music comes from sound. And without sound, and the treatment of sound, and melody, and rhythm, and how we treat it. So, approach, say that word for me.
Approach.
How we approach the listening, how we treat the elements of music, and then how we render. And that's what I learned with my divine guru teacher, Ali Akbar Khan, for 33 years in Marin County. That's where I came. I mean, I was very happy in Brazil. But I say, I need to study this music because this music, which is the ragas, is about mood. It's not about an entertainment. It's impossible to conceive ragas as entertainment. You can't. You listen to a raga and you can't. you might be unhappy or more happy, or something happened at the level of your affectiveness, suchness, possibilities. After hearing a raga, if you're listening, something is going to change in your life. Because every time you hear the same raga, it's going to be different. And guess what? And this is the last thing I say before we do it. The most important part of all this is that the music I learn in other countries, the sacred music of other worlds, like Bali's bringing the music of the Caribbeans, and the music of the sacred people of Brazil and Africa and India and Tibet and America, etc. That music is being created to soften the mind, to be loved, to be more devotional, to yearn more for beauty, for truth. Not the commercial music. That was created to make money, and so many people make money with one tune. You understand? That's what we listen on the radio. Not now, because maybe people are listening to what I'm saying. But the point is, imagine a world where the music goes back to the idea of quieting the mind to make it sensitive to divine inspiration. Imagine a world like that. Imagine a world where this is impeccable, like ancient India, ancient Africa, ancient American Indian, you know, the center, the heart of the Americas. So I like for us to, what we say in Buddha mind will always say, if you don't experience something, you don't understand. You have to experience sugar to understand sweet. And what I wanted to say was, I wanted to say something that after I hear the introduction of the Music Matters presenters, I wanted to say something that I forgot. What I learned the most about going to other places and ancient cultures of musics is that the music doesn't belong to people. The performers, the makers, we don't have nothing to do with the music. The music is not the music of this person or that person. We don't hear, the ragas have no composers. The sacred chants had no composers. It's not about the composer. It's about the current of sound that is being rendered for the benefit of all sentient beings. Imagine music that has no composers.
That's it with the traditional art. Like in Africa, have you heard of the Benin bronzes that were stolen from Africa? A lot of those were made for the Oba or the king, you know? And nobody signed it to say, well, I made this sculpture, you know? Because it's a community, you know? It's about life, not this ego trip, you know? So the music, same thing.
Well, when the composer is good, forgets about himself. You know, you just want, you get so involved. Music is so, so, so huge in terms of the information that you don't have time to think about yourself. I'm just making an album here too. We are in the recording studio 12 hours a day. After the recording studio, I only can, you know, turn on some kind of silent TV and go to sleep. Because it's just the music. So I'd like to invite you for 5 minutes of an experience. Are you for it?
Yes. Ready?
Well, you need to uncross your legs. And you need to prepare yourself to listen. We call it teaching yourself to fly. So if you're going to fly, because singing is the most direct form of human resonance and human beauty. I mean, there's no more most beautiful instrument but singing, because, you know, it's godly created. So singing is about it's about many things, many layers, but mostly muscles and breath. So we want to prepare, and then you have your wings, which are your arms. Can you show me your arms? If you cross your arms, your throat is going to get closer. That's what I do for a living. I do vocal work, vocal arts, write books about voice. So this is all about the brain. We don't have time to talk about that. But anything that is crossed when you are making music is going to also affect your brain. That's another Music Matters session. So we are going to sing, is that okay? But actually we are not going to be singing, we are going to be sounding. But we are not going to be toning, we are going to be tuning. This is called the Shruti Box. Very practical instrument to travel around the world. Takes us back to the origin of music, devotion, and some kind of religiosity. It's not about me. It's not about him. So I call and respond. That's the way that we learn the music in sacred space. Call, I'm the caller, you are the responsors. In Portuguese we say responsorio. Hands, are your hands ready to fly? So Sylvia first. This is about sound. See, I always think about sound and light. I'm conducting with my hands. Give. We always sing with the hands. One more. Singing with is an embodiment. It's like about the rhythm. It's the same with the voice. The voice is even more powerful than the rhythm to embody, to feel it in every. You know, we are generating health by breathing music. Na. breath, wind. Breathing in and long exhale, long, long breath out. Shh, with sound. Give me your breath. Any sound, vital, a lot of energy going on. Contemplative to expressivo, expressive to contemplative, that's the movement of the emotions and music. That's why what music matters. And now suddenly, oh my God, I want to go to Norway. I have never have any idea where I'm going to go. But I know I have to journey because music is a journey. Music is not about paper. I agree with the presentation. It's not about paper. It's about air and water and earth and elements. So what about going to Norway? Is that okay? It just came like boom. Okay, I need you to open your arms, please. And the breath is so important. See, that they don't teach us at school. No. First, we need to get a little bit of air. That's why people love to sing with me, because I do the basics for the biggest. No, you have to conduct. Open. tone. Lady Moon, Lady, Lady,
we'd like to remind our listening audience that this is an arts forum presentation of the Commonwealth Club of California, and you are listening to Sylvia Nakash and Val Sarant. If there are any questions, we would like to begin.
There are questions.
Carol.
You mentioned when they took away the drums. Tell us about that.
Well. The so-called colonizers, right? They knew, if we talk about music matters, because it's language, you know, when the people play. Right? So they know that they were communicating through the drum. So that was part of the thing, apart from the so-called physical language, the drums, they knew the people who were communicating with each other. So they banned them from playing the drum.
Okay, are you talking about?
Yeah, well, it happened in a lot of areas, like in Louisiana. The drums were put in a heap and burnt in Congo Square. But in Trinidad and Tobago, although they were in the Caribbean also, by law, the drums were banned. Oh, well, different people in different times. But with us, they had the British who were there in the 1890s, for example, when they had it on the books, right, banning the people. But we, in my village, we didn't take them on. They would send the police, and the police would have to go running out of our village.
Same happened in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brazil too, all over. All
women over. Wouldn't play the mm-hmm. drum when the women are the first drummers. If you mm-hmm. see all the sculptures in India or in Greece and all the places in the world, in Europe, you see the women playing the drum. But they were, then it was, you know, when they, you know, they start getting greedy about the land and the cultures and start appropriating, so they start not allowing women to play drums. All over the planet. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does Vox Mundi mean?
Vox Mundi means that music matters around the world, across the world. It means, Vox means voice, and Mundi means universe, or worlds, with S. Thank you. And it was founded by myself in 1988 in Italy.
Oh. Thank you.
You have them right now.
You have a question, sir.
How can you play the steel drum? I can play the piano a little bit, but how can you play the steel drum? Which
come on forward.
About the steel drum, how can you play? I can play piano a little. Mm-hmm. How can you play it as precisely with all the tones and sharps and flats, as if it? Because it seems to me that by its very nature, it's inexact. Oh, yeah. Yet you can play a fairly complicated piano yeah. piece with every single tone precisely in A440.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that's another topic with A440. You know, they said that the German people under Hitler decided that had to be the norm, A440. But anyway, we do research it and you would see. But because they say it's more controlling, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so anyway, that's how far music goes. But we tune it with the hammers, you know, and we use the strobe tuner now. You know, at first you would use any, you know, to get the pitch, and it's done more by air. But now with the strobe tuner, you can see, you know, the frequency right there. Wow. So that's how we make it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you can try it too. We're going to have you play.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't be bashful.
I'd like to appreciate your comment on the fact that sound can present as a medium through which we can reach the divine, and that really struck my mind. And as we try to meditate, we try to purely focus on what we observe. And as we observe the sound, pure sound itself, without mental interpretation, I think we can really be in tune with the spirit within. I'm wondering if this sort of goes along with your observation as to how sound can be the medium to reach the divine within us.
Thank you. That's a good question. Sound is in the is vibration. It's in the beginning of all manifestation. So how we render the sound and how we listen to the sound is the beginning. So then we have the experience of tone, which is the 2 minutes experience that I was trying to convey here in the time we have, the experience of shaping tone. Rinaldo, which is a way that then the mind gets so involved in sound that forgets about things that are creating tension. That's the beginning of healing with sound, healing with music. If we slow down the music and tone, and sound becomes tone. Tone is sound in time. So then you have, what are you doing with tone? How you render, how you shape it. And then comes, oh, we need a note. Then comes the notes. And a note doesn't have any existence without another note. Then comes the interval and the relationship, that in, like in life. And then, like people among people. And then comes the scale. And that's where the thing gets complicated, because it's very cultural. People use scales without even knowing, without mindfulness, or they use scales very clearly in terms of where, how are that scale, how is this scale compound? What are the notes in that scale? You know? And then how careful we sing the next note. So that's what I like to bring as a contribution to the mind, the idea of how we move slowly from one note to another note, to realize that the mind can be extended the same way and clear the same way, instead of putting too much information too soon. It's all about time. Everything in music is time. What matters is time. How fast? How slow? Too slow music for too long is going to put you to sleep. Some people need to sleep. But it depends on the light. Depends on the time of the day. That's the part of the educational aspects of music that we were missing in conventional education. How we make mind music and music for the mind. So this is the idea. We work with the components. We work with the architecture. And then sound, tone, notes, intervals becomes a gradient intelligence to make the music.
The sound, one quick thing. Now, in the palate of the mouth, you have 10 million meridian points. It's very important. That's why language is so important. That's why to a lot of the African people, the language was taken away from them. But when you say a mantra, you know, you don't necessarily have to sing it. You can say it and get that power, you know. So it's very important, you know, how you pronounce things, you know, how you put it out. And then I think I wanted to mention the playing an instrument helps diffuse all of the brain. Listening is very good. You know, it lights up all parts of the brain. But playing an instrument is very, very crucial for people.
That's why we brought this little instrument too, if you want to play the instrument and feel like you're a musician in a second. Well, we have a little one here. See if everybody wants to have the experience.
What is that called?
It's called Shruti Vox, the Vox of microtones.
Can you describe it?
It has reeds, like it's like a little accordion. Can be very scary.
It is a box.
It is a box.
I'm listening.
Shruti.
Yeah, these ones are, they're making it for me. Sometimes they experiment, and then you experiment with tone.
How are you doing that? Can you describe what you're doing?
I'm just playing two notes at the same time. It's called harmony.
And where are the notes?
The notes are here.
On the side of the box.
On the side of the box.
Yes.
Maybe you can hold it.
I just want to hear
for the radio.
What it is that you're doing.
What I am doing is to opening the air of the reeds to create specifically sound, but not just playing one note, playing an interval. And when we work with sound before music to create music, we bring a lot of attention to the intervals and the space in between the intervals. Okay. So this one is bigger and easier to play. And the interval is 1/5. And the beauty of this one is that I don't have even to play it for it to keep sounding. It's like the diaphragm that we have as
Is that related to the harmonium, a version of a more primitive?
Yeah, it's a harmonium, but without the notes, without the keyboard, without the keys. And it's very reliable. You want to play instruments that are very reliable, like tuning forks or bells, something that takes you to a place of confidence and reliability first. Another element that I bring into music education, like people feel free first, comfortable. The other way that I learn, when I learn in Italy and other places, they give me books and say, learn this and tomorrow come and interpret this important composer. It was very scary. But then I went to Mills College and I learned electronic music and I thought that was fun. Mm.
Can you show us, perhaps, or tell us how you work together?
Yeah.
Hmm? Oh, sing a song. Okay, for who may not know, who listening, this is a box, yeah, the kalimba, and you have two small holes at the back of it and a large one in the front, and you have metal keys on the, metal pieces. So. Kalimba.
So normally we know each other for 30 years. We travel together. Mm-hmm. We do a long retreats together. And what happens is we just get together, and sometimes I start or sometimes Val starts. But we meet very much in the land of Orisha sound, which is the culture of the Yoruba tradition in Africa. So we sing sacred chants from Africa the same way that, the energetics of that is what Val offered in the beginning. Those chants are to create, to bless any space or to invoke an entity to come to the room when it's necessary. There's a lot of magic in the music that we do together, so. You start.
Mama Yoshun Yabadurio Olomio Olomio.
Oh.
Ye ma ja wo do ya. Ye ma ja wo do ya. Na bira da fire no fundo do ma. Na bira da fire no fundo do ma. O do si ya ba. O do si ya ba. Yeah. O do si ya ba. O do si ya ba.
Ye manja. O do ya. Ye manja.
Thanks to Sylvia Nakash and Val Sarant for their wonderful demonstration today. We also thank you, our live audience, as well as those listening in the recording. And now, the meeting of the Commonwealth Club commemorating the 112th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned.
Ile re, that's yours. Ile re. Ile re. Ogun. Ogun karanga.
There are...